We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Doing things, your phones in a spot. We can't even get our TVs on in here, as we don't know how.
We're not allowed.
It's a day-by-day process.
Okay.
It's getting better. I'm going to have to really adjust to the light just glaring into my studio.
I think what we're going to have to do is, and I don't want to do this because we like the view, but based on how the setup is, the sun is shining right into Jack's studio right now,
into my eyes.
Yeah, so I can. This is the only time I can see you, because then it's just glare before this. So I can see you, but it's also a glare you. So are we going to have to...
And I might be blind by the end of the show.
Yeah, I think by 4 o'clock every day for the next few months at least, you're going to have to turn those blinds down.
No, I mean, we're going to have the blinds down even though the... You know,
it's an odd mood for a sports radio show, blinds down, but you have to do what you have
to
do.
No, I mean, I would much rather be able to look out, in the 30th Street Station and Market Street and everything else.
When you see those cars going by, you're thinking like, they're probably listening to us right now.
All right, hold on. Now, let me see if this does anything.
Oh, this is great.
It's good radio right here.
People love listening to this.
Well, the guy in his car across the street's watching Mark's pull the blinds down. Is that better for Jack or no?
No, it's this one.
Oh, it's the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Something, you know what?
Live on the air, it just broke.
Oh, this
is going
well.
We've been here how long? 4 days? 5 days?
John's breaking stuff?
No big deal. Listen, I'm gonna defend Mark's in this one. If you are just turning, putting the blinds on and off, moving them up and down, they shouldn't fall on your head.
Yeah,
that's not a Mark's problem.
In fact, this is a them problem.
Yeah,
they're lucky I didn't get hurt.
Wow.
It hit me in the shoulder.
Yeah, lucky to hit you in the head.
I literally was just trying to put it down, and this came flying down, complete with screws and everything.
Are you getting stronger from the doors around here?
I must be.
The doors are impossible. I think that is a sign that we're not supposed to touch the blinds.
But
someone's got to be able to touch them.
Do they want me to be blind back here?
I don't know.
Listen, the TVs don't work in here. The lines don't work.
Jack, could you get that sound live on the air from Live on the Air coming up that we can replay?
People can really relate to it.
You ever have something fall on your head when you try to be handy?
Joe, here's the thing. I still can't see Jack, so that obviously didn't help.
And Jack's still blind.
And by the way, I'm not touching that other blind because it'll just come falling down. That was not staged. That was legitimately on the air.
Yeah, we'll see if Jillio's in for you tomorrow.
You're at the doctor.
All right. So, no, or I'm in trouble. So, Jason Garrett, hired by the Giants as offensive coordinator. Now, it's not like if it was an Eagle hire of the offensive coordinator and say, well, he's not really calling plays, so it's not really that big of a deal.
No, he is.
No, Jason Garrett's going to be calling plays, duties that were taken from him a few years ago now by Jerry Jones. So, the Eagles still don't have an offensive coordinator. And the news came out today that Graham Harrell, who is the USC offensive coordinator that actually calls plays out there. It didn't say that the Eagles weren't interested in him. It didn't say he wasn't interested in the Eagles. It just said that he was going back to USC. My instincts tell me that he wouldn't turn that job down, and it was more the Eagles that were saying, hey, we're probably not interested in you right now. We're looking for some more experience or whatever. I'd be shocked if he turned that job down. But, Joe... now they're looking, according to reports, at interviewing Mike Kafka, the former Eagle and now the offensive or the quarterback's coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, the Chiefs can block that if they wanted to, but it doesn't seem like an Andy Reid-type move to block a quarterback's coach that's going for a promotion, which would be with the Eagles.
Yeah, he's always about upward mobility with his guys. That's how Doug got here and all this stuff. It is weird, though, what's going on. I agree with you. I was reading the wording of the Graham Harrell. Bruce Feldman tweeted out, the college football writer. And it said he's expected to stay at USC. It didn't say they gave him a raise.
It didn't say either way.
It didn't say he pulled out of the – it just was a very vague thing. Like, he's not going to be the Eagle offensive coordinator. Why, we don't know. But why does it seem like no one wants this job? And maybe these
and
guys –
And that's fair.
Look, the guy in Baltimore, James Urban, who's the quarterback's coach there of Lamar Jackson, mm-hmm. he can't call plays. Greg Roman didn't get a head coaching job. Like, this job, people keep saying, well, can't call plays here. Well, James Urban with the Ravens – can't call plays in Baltimore.
He's not even the offensive coordinator.
I know. It's just why you would think this would be a job that people would jump at. And for whatever reason so far, It's either these guys are just not doing well in the interviews. The Eagles are like, nope, this is not the right guy. Or they are interviewing and then say to the Eagles, you know what? I'm going to stay where I am.
So a couple things here. And we'll talk about Urban for a second from the Ravens. I think with him, Greg Roman didn't get a head coaching job this year. I don't know if he does an interview well or whatever. You would think that after this year, that would be the year that he gets a job.
Especially if Lamar Jackson is really good again and the offense is really good again.
Bang, which I expect them to be good next year, right? Maybe he looks at it and says, well, I'm not calling plays. Well, maybe there's a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction going on with coordinators and position coaches in Philadelphia to where I stay here. I'm working with Lamar Jackson. I'm being given a lot of credit for it. And if Greg Roman goes and gets a head coaching job after next year, now I become the offense coordinator, but I'm also calling plays. To where if you go to Philadelphia, you're not calling plays. In a year, James Urban could be calling plays, and that would elevate him, hopefully, to be a head coach somewhere from his perspective. I think it's a combination of not calling plays. He's in a really good spot in Baltimore. And maybe this just isn't the most attractive job for those reasons. Now, Joe, I've heard some speculation that maybe people are asking, well, does Carson Wentz play a part of any of this?
Well, see, I think he does, because I don't think it's a lose-lose for a coordinator here with Carson Wentz. There's a feeling we still have that he could be great again, that he was great once, he could be great again. And we still hold it to the standard of Frank Reich, the Wentz's one great season in 2017. Like, Mike Rowe, whenever the Eagles' offense was bad, it was Mike Rowe's fault. Whenever it was good, it was Doug.
It was Carson and Doug.
Carson and Doug. You get no credit. When things go well, it's supposed to go well. When things go bad, it's all your fault and you're a moron. And look, think about it. Mike Rowe got fired. The Eagles were 12th in points scored this year. They weren't 28th. They weren't 26th. Like, there's a lot of pressure if you come here and take this job. You better make Carson Wentz elite again, and you better make it a top 5 or 10 offense. Otherwise, you're getting fired.
Otherwise,
it's not easy.
Your job's in jeopardy, and you don't get credit for it.
Right, and then there's the stuff out there that maybe the owner, it's not just do you impress your head coach. Does Doug want to keep you around if you're Doug's guy? Maybe.
Well, the owner just fired the offensive coordinator.
Right. I don't think – if I'm an up-and-coming
– I think that's a part of it.
Yeah, if I'm an up-and-coming coordinator, I don't look at the Eagles and say, that's the job. I say, that's a job. It's a good job, but it's got some pitfalls, too.
Jack Fritz, why is no one taking this job yet? Are they the only team without an offensive coordinator, by the way? Am I missing out on a team that would be missing?
Well, think about all the new coaches. They've all hired somebody, right?
Jacksonville just didn't, weren't they?
Well, they're interviewing.
They interviewed Jay Gruden.
It looks like, yeah, Jay Gruden is.
The Giants have one you just mentioned, Garrett.
Right, Garrett just got hired.
Yeah, I think most of these teams have. I don't think there's anyone except the Eagles that don't.
Mm. Why? What's your explanation, Jack? Why is this job not out there? Because it's not like that. Like, what happened with Caldwell? Was he just not interested? Were the Eagles not interested? I mean, he felt like the perfect guy for the job.
That felt right, and I'm worried about Doug not wanting to bring in a guy that could kind of be eye to eye with him in a way. Like Jim Caldwell's a guy who's been in this league for a while.
He's worried about a contemporary rather than an obvious guy that I'm the head coach and you're the offensive coordinator. And maybe
they're just waiting this out and going through it as thorough as possible because they don't want to mess up this hire. But there's something feels wrong.
It seems like to me they're jumping from candidate to candidate, and either the candidate's not interested or they're not interested, and it's to the next guy.
I'm worried that they're going to bring in a young, inexperienced guy, and it won't work.
Because think about it. Here's the thing, right? Like, each name that's come up, then you found out. Like, so it's like Jim Caldwell's a candidate, but then you heard the interview, but then you didn't hear much of anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Then you had James Urban is a candidate, and then he wasn't interviewing. He was staying with the Ravens. So you actually got whatever happened with that. Who am I missing out on here?
Well, one of the things I keep hearing is maybe this isn't very attractive because you can't call plays. Doug calls the plays.
Sure.
But Kevin O'Connell, when they first got rid of Groh, the first two names were Caldwell and Kevin O'Connell, who was the quarterback, was the coordinator down in D.C. with the Redskins this past season. He went to the Rams. He's not calling plays with the Rams. That's Sean McVay. So you almost could kind of check off some of these things. Like, that can't all be it. There's something weird going on here. This should not be that hard of a job to fill. It's a coordinator with a quarterback you know is going to be here and an offensive coach that is going to take, you know, is going to kind of help you along. Something's weird about this.
All right, I agree. Let's go to the phones. Chris, Penn Salkin. Chris, how are you? Let me try it again. Chris, what do you got, brother?
What's up, guys? It's weird. You got to wait for the ding. It's like a delay. You got to get used to it.
We got you.
When you call in.
Whole new system.
Yo, man, my family's sick too, John. My kid waited an hour and 45 minutes past her appointment today at 13 with 103 fever. It's crazy.
Oh, man.
So I feel you. I'll tell you, one job I wouldn't interview for, guys, on this team is the wide receiver coach. They zip them faster than you're eating a potato chip on a
Friday
night.
Every year there's a new one. Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just insane, man. And I applaud Jeffrey Lurie. I respect him, love him for getting me a Super Bowl. But I think he's got the Middleton little disease. He's quietly in the past, ever since the Super Bowl, he got that. Now he's pacing that blood. He's just waking up saying, "No, what? Let's change this. Let's change that." Nobody even wants to apply here. I mean, what are we, like the fourth or fifth biggest market? You're in a rabid fan base. You know, if you do good, you're going to get somebody's going to steal you. You're in a division that's takeable, and nobody wants. They go, "Know what?" They go. John goes, "Hey, you want a steak? It's $100 steak. You can have it free." They go, "John, nah, you can eat it." It's starting to scare me now. And I don't think it has to do with the quarterback. I don't have to think it has to do with the coach. I think it has to do with Howie and Jeff, and now I'm scared. I called you, Joe, 2 weeks ago, and John, I called both of you guys, and I said, get away from that inside zone, that 12 offense, whatever, the two tight ends. And, dude, we have the players just like San Fran, except the wide receivers. Go after Mike LaFleur. He's our offensive pass coordinator for the 49ers. He's good. That offense, he would thrive in, and so would Carson. They don't even ask him for an interview. It's so weird to me. It's boggling to me.
Well, I think they consider it a lateral move, and that's why he wouldn't.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
But John, if you punch up, or Joe or John, if you punch up their coaching staff, he's all the way down in like the seventh person down. I just don't get it. And the guy that went to the Rams, you weren't getting to him because McVay and him were together at Washington. So know what this is going to be? Here's what's going to happen, guys.
But
we're going to hire with him again. We're going to be stale. And, John, I want to fully apologize to you. I was the guy 12-4 last week. You were right. I don't like to apologize. I was wrong.
What? Not yet.
9-7. Oh, no. 9-7, 10-6. And we have no playmakers, man. You look at that field. We have a couple playmakers. Know what I saw this weekend? I saw youth, I saw speed, and I saw strength. And guess what? We don't have much of that, and that's what scares me. That's what really, truly scares me. And Carson Wentz, Joe, I got to tell you, I was wrong with him because I was more with you. I thought he was a 10-12 guy. I haven't looked down the board. He's a top 7-8 guy easy. He's winning with these guys, throwing to the tight end 80% of the time in a running back because no wide receivers can get over because Doug Peterson's stale. He's not moving forward.
You know what, Chris? And listen, good call, man. I appreciate it. And by the way, just because you said 12 last week and I said 9 or 10, you're not right and I'm not wrong or vice versa because they haven't played the games yet.
Yeah, they haven't changed their team. It's the same team.
Free agency that is still to come. But I'm going to say this. The offense looks stale. Felt stale. I don't know if that was a product of the personnel or the Doug needs some freshening up in there.
I think it's more the personnel. They did have 400 yards in each of the last four games with nobody, with just backs and tight ends. Like, I don't think
playing bad teams.
Yes, except the Cowboys weren't bad. They were average.
Fair.
Three bad teams. But they moved the ball.
They did.
In all those games. Now, Carson was a big part of it because he played his best, but also...
But they also looked differently when Alshon got off the field and you brought in these guys that actually wanted to play.
And whenever they got Doug schemed up, like, they had hundreds of yards on screen passes. That doesn't happen by accident.
Yeah,
the coach has to scheme that up.
I would say that the majority of it is personnel. When you have Greg Ward running an end around because he's not, what's he running, a 4.6, 4.7 or something like that?
That's your best option.
Right, and I do. I remember the specific play where I liked the idea. It was a good idea, but Greg Ward trying to get around the corner isn't the same as Tyreek Hill trying to get around the corner.
So, you know how we just had the mention there of Mike LaFleur, the 49ers guy? You said it's a lateral move. Well, I don't know how this works, but Shanahan doesn't have an offensive coordinator.
He's got run game and pass game.
Yeah, so I don't know if they're both considered coordinators and that this would be a lateral move, or if it would be like, hey, he's the offensive coordinator here. He's just your passing game guy.
I think that an offensive coordinator in name is a higher position than a pass game coordinator. The Eagles haven't went to this run game, pass game, whatever kind of thing. I think that were the Cowboys the first to do that with Lenahan? They had a run game, and that's who came in and took the play calling duties away from Jason Garrett. That was a number of years ago. They're two coordinators since then. But I like, for me, if I'm LaFleur, If the Eagles are a place where I'm calling my plays, I'm going. Otherwise, why would you leave?
He's in the Super Bowl. And if they have another big year, he might be a head coach.
He's going to be a head coach and not an offensive coordinator, not calling plays. Yep. Let's go to Sam in Morrisville. Sam, how are you?
What's up, Sam?
Hello, Sammy Shane.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
I got you, Sam. How are you?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Hello.
Yeah, hey, how you doing?
Good.
I listen, you got you and Ike every day on my way home from work.
Thank you.
A couple things I want to talk about. Yes, the 49ers have a good defense, but I don't think they can stop the Chiefs offense. I don't think they have the speed of corner to go man, and if they go in zone, Patrick Mahomes is going to tear them apart.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they can get to the quarterback
they
like they've shown, they need pressure. Otherwise, they're toast.
I agree with you.
Right, because, I mean, Tennessee had a great running back. But once you get out to a 2-touchdown lead, that running back's useless no more. You can't run the ball no more because now you're playing catch-up, which is not 49ers' strength.
Right.
Right? They're a run, good defense. That's how we're going to beat you. I just – that's my take personally. And then the other thing I want to talk about is all these Andy haters. Andy took us to the championship five times. He can't play the game for us. The players got to play the game.
But don't the players play the same game getting to the championship game that Andy Reid coaches? You know what I mean? Like, you can't have it
but
then the players play.
No, you can't fault Andy for losing the game. He didn't lose the game. The players lost the game.
Right, but John's point is the players also got them there, too. The one thing you can say is he was the common denominator, him and Donovan. Most of the players changed. Like, the first title game in 01 compared to the last title game in Arizona, how many guys were the same? One?
Not many, yeah.
Donovan.
Maybe somebody on the line.
Maybe a couple guys. The common denominator was Andy and Donovan got them there.
And I think what Andy has learned since he was with the Philadelphia is to surround that quarterback with talent. Like, he didn't do that in Philadelphia. Yeah, we had Brian Westbrook. Yeah, we had Deuce Staley. But he didn't surround that quarterback with the speed of the wide receivers that the Chiefs have today.
Now he did. It's interesting. He did it the opposite way in Kansas City. Here he took Donovan with the first pick and then tried to figure out the rest as time went on. There, he built a team with Alex Smith, and then they saw the opportunity to get Mahomes. They were like, that's the finishing
piece. And they
did
it right. Absolutely.
Did it the opposite way.
Let me ask it this way. A good listener to WIP, Boston hater Mike, put up a poll and I'm going to on Twitter, and I'm going to kind of spin it from here. Everybody's talking about Andy Reid. Oh, I'm rooting for Andy. Oh, I'm so happy. So are we happy for Andy or are we rooting for Andy, right? I mean, Jack, are you rooting for Andy to win a Super Bowl or are you happy for Andy?
I'm more happy for Andy.
Right. Exactly.
No, I'm rooting for Andy.
Right. I'm rooting for a good game, right? Like, I would rather a good game and the Niners win than a game that sucks like last year and Andy Reid gets a Super Bowl
and we get to watch it last year.
Terrible game, right? Like, normally, and the Super Bowls have been so good for the last decade or so. But, like, I guess that's where the difference is. Like, I'm happy enough for Andy. I'm annoyed that I'm being told that I have to, like, oh, you have to root for Andy. Oh, that's about you. You have a problem if you don't like Andy Reid or you're not rooting for Andy Reid. No, I'm just – Andy Reid's been gone for 7 or 8 years, and I've moved on. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to root for Andy Reid. I don't need to feel good for Andy Reid because he's in the Super Bowl. No, quite the contrary. I don't have to do any of that. I was rooting for the Titans because I was a fan of the Titans this year, and that's who I picked in the game. I'm rooting for a good Super Bowl. If Andy wins, will I feel good for him? Yes, I'll feel good for him. I'll be happy for him. He's a deserving coach. He's a Hall of Fame coach. He's a deserving coach if he can win the damn big game, which he hasn't done. So I'll leave it like that. It's pretty simple to me. Andy Reid has been a good coach in Philadelphia. Andy Reid's the best coach in franchise history. Andy Reid built the Kansas City Chiefs into what they are right now. He deserves credit for all of that. But the finger wagging that I've seen in the last 24 hours is so overwhelmingly over the top. It's too much. Even you, Joe.
I'm just trying to guide you in the right direction here on Andy.
You even got conned into it. You did. Because now half the people that are calling in saying, I feel good for Andy, you feel bad. You've been guilted into feeling bad because columnists and other media members have told you that you treated him poorly and he deserves more credit than he's being given. Actually, I don't think he deserves more credit than he's being given because he was a good coach. He's the best coach in franchise history, but he also went to one Super Bowl and lost it. What are we really talking about here?
Sometimes perspective comes with time. And the more time he's gone, the more I think you have to realize he was a great coach here. The Eagles franchise had very little highs before Andy Reid got here. Very little. One Super Bowl appearance, four playoff wins. It wasn't like they were, you know, every other year they were pretty good. No, they were bad a lot of times. They had a couple good moments here and there. Andy Reid changed the way the Eagles, like this, everything about the franchise is different because of Andy Reid, and I feel almost in debt to Andy Reid for what he changed the Eagles, and I want to see him win. I'm rooting for him, and I don't think we can go overboard with this. Like, it's not like the Eagles are there. It's there's no conflict of interest. There's nothing about it that it's Eagles. It's the Niners and the Chiefs. So if I have to go overboard for Andy, I'll go overboard for Andy.
888-729-9494. Mark's
this town, man. They love losers.
What? Losers? The guy's one of the seventh winningest coach of all time.
No, but see, like, Jack, it's taken, like Joe said, with perspective and time, it's maybe made people appreciate Andy more. And I actually think that him going to Kansas City has made me appreciate how good of a coach he really is, and the fact that he changed. This isn't the same stale West Coast offense he was running here in 2011.
Not slants and screens.
No, man, he's really evolved, and he's done a hell of a job putting that team together. He really has. So I think I've gained more appreciation for Andy Reid since leaving, just the fact what he's done in Kansas City. Joe, I remember talking to guys that I appreciate. I'm not even going to name them because, frankly, it'd be a little bit embarrassing. But they were saying on the record, the game's passed Andy Reid by. Andy Reid, just like some coaches come along and it's like I don't want to bring up a bad name, but a name like a Dave Wannstedt.
The game passed him by.
Right, like, yeah, like somebody that was the coach during like the 90s and it's like, oh, he was such a 90s coach. You know what I mean? Like, not a modern day coach, could never evolve into anything other than what they were, right? Andy Reid has evolved over 20 years.
And that's something. Not every coach can do that. We see this a lot in baseball now. Guys don't get hired anymore. Like, if you're in your 60s, the game has changed. It passed you by. You don't even hire guys anymore. Like, the fact that Andy has evolved to where, like, he has one of the most innovative offense in the league. He's the old guy.
It's pretty amazing.
It is.
Well, isn't it frustrating that he didn't do that here?
Well, maybe it took time.
So are you frustrated with that?
Well, if he's so great,
then he got so great in Kansas City.
Yeah, all of a sudden he goes to Kansas City. He's this offensive genius again. Meanwhile, here it was like he went 4-12 his last year here.
Yes, let's not get carried away with how good Andy Reid was in Philadelphia.
Couple bad years.
He was good. He was the best coach in franchise history. Like you said, what does that actually mean? But let's not go overboard. He went to one Super Bowl and lost. There's a lot of coaches that went to one Super Bowl and lost. There were a lot of championship games in there. 888-729-9494. And none of what I'm saying today has any type of – I'm not mad at Andy Reid, and that's why I'm saying, screw Andy Reid. No, I'm saying we're going overboard with what we're talking about Andy Reid. We're talking about Andy Reid now like he won a Super Bowl. And now it's like, yeah, go get him, Andy. Win one in Kansas City, too. No, he was fine. Andy Reid was good here. And then the other thing you're doing, Joe, is you're acting like that if they didn't hire Andy Reid, they couldn't have possibly hired somebody else that would have had success.
Not that kind of success. Five title games. The Eagles have played in how many title games in their history? Seven.
What was their record in those five title games?
They're 1-4.
888-729.
The Eagles never won a game before Andy Reid. 94,
basically.
94. It's too much. It's too much. The rooting is fine.
I thought people were going to be in tears yesterday when they saw Andy Reid make the play. I mean, the Super Bowl.
Honest to God, I'd rather a good game in two Sundays than Andy Reid winning a championship. I'm rooting for a good game, not Andy to win. We'll take your phone calls after this. 888-729-9494. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, let's talk about hair for a second. And Dr. Glatt. Last time I was getting my hair cut up at the Razor Bar, I had the listener that was sitting in the chair across being like, hey, you're John Marks? Let me see your hair. Boom. Right up there, taking a look at my hairline. Now I got my barber, John, and I got the guy who's getting his hair cut inspecting my hairline from close up. Like, man, I can't tell. Like, well, of course you can't tell. Because that's the whole point. Why would you be able to tell? Because all you're doing is you're getting your hair back. So you're more or less your natural hairline is being restored. And that's why they call it hair restoration. You're getting your hair restored. This isn't some miracle drug that you think you're taking or a spray or a cream or shampoo where you're going to unclog follicles. No, they're restoring your hairline. And that's what Dr. Glatt and his hair team have the most success in Philadelphia doing. Over 20 years of experience in hair restoration. That is the longest in the Philadelphia area. So if you're thinning and you want to gain your hair back, your youth back, your confidence back, trust Dr. Glatt. I did. Call his office today, 610-980-4000. Dr. Glatt, 610-980-4000, or online at drglatt.com, drglatt.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.